Family of God at St. Mark's, I really hate to stop all the talking and fellowship that's happening right now, but we came here for a reason. And the reason that we're all here today is that He has risen. I have a hard time believing you're Lutheran on mornings like this. That was the actual enthusiasm there. That was wonderful. I'm so glad. That is amazing. Folks, what a beautiful day we have. A day that we get to gather and remember the name of Jesus, remember the work of Jesus, remember the way that Jesus died on the cross for us, willingly giving up His life, remembering the time that He spent in the tomb and the days that the people of God were just wondering what on earth is going on. And then today, the day when the women came to the tomb and found it empty, the day that they found that Jesus had risen from the dead, the day that they knew that the person they followed, the one that they had given their faith, the one who was their God, is alive and will be alive forevermore. And so as we are gathered here today, let us remember the day that we were brought into His family as well, as we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand. Jesus, we thank You so much that You came and that You paid the price of Your life as an atoning sacrifice that we could be reconciled to God. But today we remember how it is that You didn't stay dead, but You rose again from the dead, so we too can have the hope of eternal life and the resurrection of the dead for ourselves, we who believe and trust in You. We thank You that today is a day of celebration. We pray that we ever keep these things in our mind today and all days. In Jesus' name I pray.
The cross of the world.
we confess our sins before God our Father. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
Of life. Good morning. Happy Easter. I'm Kevin Chigg. I'm one of the elders here at St. Mark's. And I need to move some stuff here. The first scripture reading is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then all of the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. This is the word of the Lord.
Our message scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of St. Mark, the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he says. "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they have laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And this time I invite the children forward for a children's message.
All right, kids, come on over here. They put a whole bunch of flowers in our way, so come all the way over to this side. There's more room over here. All right. How are you guys doing today? There are so many beautiful dresses and handsome men. Look at this. This is amazing. Wow. All right, keep squishing in. Hello, Mr. Liam. All right, everybody, keep squishing in. Keep squishing in. All right, so tell me, why is everybody all dressed up today?
Easter.
What?
Easter.
It's Easter? What is that? What happened on Easter?
I didn't see Easter egg.
What happened?
Jesus rose again.
Yes. Okay. Now, here's what did you guys just listen to the scripture that was just read? The very beginning on Easter Sunday, there was some ladies who were going to find where Jesus was buried, and they were going to get his body ready for burial. And so what they did was this. They were walking along, and they had a problem. You know what the problem was? In front of Jesus's tomb, in front of the cave where Jesus was buried, there was a great big rock. Now, not just a little rock. The Bible says that it was very huge. It was very, very heavy. And the women were like, "How on earth are we going to be able to move the rock?" Do you know how they moved the rock? They didn't.
They rolled it.
No, you know what? When they got there, The rock was already rolled away. And what did the women do? Because there was three single women walking around in a graveyard in the middle of the very early morning all by themselves, and they found an open grave. What did they do? They went into the grave. That's right. That's what they would do. And what did they find in the grave? Did they find Jesus?
No.
What did they find?
Angel.
They found an angel. And what did the angel tell them? They said, you're here looking for Jesus, the Messiah, but he's not here. He is risen. He is alive. Is that kind of a big news?
Yeah.
All right, here's the thing. How cool is it for us to be able to remember that Jesus is alive and that the tomb was empty when the women got there? It is really amazing. And so to help you remember, each one of you is going to get a little empty grave. You see that? Isn't that exciting? That's fun stuff. It's good stuff. But no, what I want you to do is I want you to take this and I want you to put it in your bedroom where you can see it, because then every time you look at it, what can you remember? Is Jesus in the tomb? Is Jesus dead? Is Jesus alive? Does that mean Jesus is with us? Does that mean we can pray to Jesus? Does that mean Jesus forgives our sins? Is that a wonderful thing? Absolutely. So every time you see the grave, you'll get your own. Don't worry about it. Every time you see the grave, you will be able to remember that Jesus is alive and he is with you. Okay, so let's see here now. At the very beginning of the service, what did I do? I came out and I said something, and then everybody else said something else. Remember what that was? I think I said, he is risen. And then what did everybody else say?
Hallelujah.
All right, let's listen. I'm going to do it, and you're going to learn. Listen, pay attention to what the grown-ups say, and then you can repeat after them, okay? Ready? He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Now, I know you guys can be louder than them because I've watched you play. All right? So here's the thing. I'm going to give you a chance to say it louder than everybody else. Are you ready for this? Ready? He is risen.
Hallelujah.
Okay, one more time. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Okay, ready? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Very good. Our future is secure. Excellent. Okay, guys, listen. This is how this is going to work. I'm not going to give these out right now because they're kind of hard, and I didn't want you guys, doing anything damaging with them. And so what we're going to do is after the service is all over today, we're going to go right out those doors there in the back where it says exit, and then we're going to have an Easter egg hunt.
Yay!
And at the Easter egg hunt, one of the things you're going to get is an empty grave so that you can remember that Jesus is alive. Very good. All right. Can we pray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much and for sending your Son into the world. Jesus, we thank you so much that you were willing to die for us and that you rose from the dead. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for us. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, everybody. It is now time for a little worship. Anybody 4-year-old through fourth grade can go with the cross in the middle aisle and have a message just for you with your parents' permission. If you don't have your parents' permission, go get your parents' permission and then go meet at the cross in the middle of the aisle. All right. Now I'm out of trouble. All right, so Easter begins. For such an explosive day, Easter began very quietly. There was a bunch of women who were heading to the tomb of Jesus. And these women had been through a lot. They'd been through not just the last week, but they'd been with Jesus for years, following him around and taking care of his needs. They were with him when he was out preaching and teaching. They were with him when the crowds got large, when Jesus was popular. And then Jesus started this whole message talking about how he was going to suffer and die. And the crowds got a little smaller, but they were there for that. They were there a week earlier when he'd made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem and all the people were yelling and hollering and laying their coats and palm branches on the ground before Jesus as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. They were there as the people praised Jesus. They were there when Jesus overturned the tables in the temple just a couple of days later. They were there when Jesus pulled his disciples aside and told them, hey, it's time for you to go and to prepare the Passover for me. And these ladies were probably a big part of the preparation of that Passover meal that Jesus ate with his disciples. They were probably there looking on when Jesus spoke to his disciples at that last meal. They were there when Jesus washed his disciples' feet, when he gave them the great commandment, when he gave them this meal that we still celebrate today often, this meal by which we receive the body and blood of Christ and his forgiveness and the strength that we need to live as Christians in this world. They were there. They were there a little bit later when Jesus took his disciples out into the garden. They were there when Jesus prayed and the disciples fell asleep. They were there when Judas betrayed Jesus and brought in the religious leaders and guards that were able to take Jesus away and arrest Jesus and take Jesus off for trial. They were there when Jesus was tried illegally at night. They were there when Jesus was condemned. They saw Jesus carry the cross to the place where he was hung on the cross. They were there to watch Jesus as he suffered. They were there to watch Jesus as he died. They were there when Jesus was taken off the cross on Friday night and hurriedly buried because the Sabbath was almost there. And now the Sabbath has been celebrated. It is now the first day of the week. And they know that Jesus is dead. They watched him die. They know he was buried. They watched him get buried. They don't know much else. I mean, can you imagine all their hopes, they had dedicated years of their life to following this man around and to seeing to his needs. They dedicated themselves completely to this man. They truly had faith in him and what he was there to do. And now he's dead. And I'm not sure what they were planning to do next, but they loved Jesus and they loved him enough that they were willing to go and to prepare his body properly for burial because of the quick burial he got on Friday. His body had not been properly prepared, and so they brought together the spices and the other stuff necessary to go and to take care of their Jesus, this one that they loved. And the only question that they had in their minds as they went to the tomb was, how are we going to roll away the stone? But because they didn't have an answer, they just kept going, hoping that an answer would present itself. And when they arrived at the tomb, they got more than they expected. I mean, less than they expected in one way, which was, of course, more than they expected in the most profound way. They got to the tomb, and the big obstacle that they were anticipating wasn't there. The stone had already been rolled away, and like I said in the children's message, three women at night in a graveyard. What else are you going to do with an open tomb? Go in. And so they walked into the tomb, and what did they find? Did they find Jesus? They found an angel who had a message. You are looking for Jesus, the Messiah. He is not here. He is risen. That message shook the women up just a little bit. They knew that Jesus was dead. They knew that their life as it was over. They knew that this whole Jesus movement had come to an end. They knew all this, and suddenly everything they knew changed. And suddenly they had a new reality that they had to try to grasp, try to understand, try to cling to understand just how, what does this mean that he is alive? I mean, in the very basic sense, Jesus, their friend, was no longer dead. This was good news. But what does it mean otherwise? I mean, we're all here today, right? I mean, look at y'all. I don't know which way to face. There's people everywhere. There's up there and over here, and I'm going to turn my back on somebody, so I'm just don't feel ignored. I love you all. But the thing is that we have this, we all gathered here because we know something amazing happened. That Jesus is not dead, he is risen, he is alive. But why is that such a big deal for us today? And you know what? The best way to explain it is to go into 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm actually going to go a little bit past where we started, where we read for today. And what Paul is actually dealing with here is not whether or not Jesus rose from the dead. What he's dealing with here is whether or not we rise from the dead. Because there were some people in the early Christian church who believed that when you died, you were not risen from the dead. And most likely it came from the division in the Jewish religion, that there were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees were the more literal, conservative, Bible-believing people, and the Sadducees were the people who had been influenced much more by the Greeks and much more rationalistic, and because they were so rationalistic, they kind of had given up on the idea of a physical resurrection, that we would actually be raised from the dead. They believed that following God was important for this life and that there would be blessings in this life, but that at the end of this life, we were dead and there was no more. You understand? And there's still people today that have that kind of understanding about God, but this is a false teaching that Paul was dealing with in 1 Corinthians, all right? And listen to how Paul deals with this bad teaching. He says, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised from the dead. Do you understand what he just did there? What he did is he said this. He said, listen, your resurrection and Christ's resurrection is the same resurrection. You get this? That if you don't rise from the dead, then Christ can't rise from the dead. You understand that? That the resurrection of Christ is the first fruit of the resurrection that all of us will experience. And that you can't have one without the other. Either Christ is resurrected and we are resurrected, or Christ is not resurrected and none of us will be resurrected. You understand? And he goes on. I mean, he really drives this home. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. Do you get this? He kind of really drives it home over and over. There is one resurrection. Jesus rose first, and all of the rest of us are going to rise with him on the last day. It all comes together. You got this? The other thing is this, is that on Good Friday, Jesus died. And when he died, he took the blame, the guilt of the world's sin upon himself. And he exchanged his perfect life for the sin of all people. He literally died guilty. of our sin. And on the cross, he paid the penalty of our sin and won the victory over sin. Now, here's the thing. If sin had won, Jesus would stay dead. If Jesus wins, he lives. So tell me, how do we know that Jesus' forgiveness was complete? How do we know that God's plan for salvation wasn't a failed plan? How do we know that Jesus finished the job? We know because he rose from the dead. And in rising from the dead, he proclaims his victory over sin and over death. He breaks death so that death is no longer able to hold on to us either. And on the last day, we all will rise. Now, do you think the women understood all of that when the angel first spoke with them? But they knew something earth-shattering had just happened, which is why they left the tomb so upset. And later, God made it clear to them. Now, there's one other thing I want to point at before I let you go for today, and that's this. The angel had more than just a message for the ladies, right? He had a message that he told them, and he said, I want you to share this message with the disciples and who? Peter. Okay, now why Peter? I mean, really, does Peter deserve honorable mention at this point? I mean, where did we see Peter last, right? Yeah, it was during the trial of Jesus, right? Where he denied Jesus with enthusiasm, with oaths. I mean, he didn't just deny Jesus, he doubled and then tripled down on denying Jesus. Compare the sin of Paul or Peter and compare the sin of Judas, where Judas betrayed Jesus and Peter denied Jesus, and which one's worse? Yeah, it's kind of a toss-up, isn't it? I mean, what are you going to say? What Peter did was awful, hideous. Everything that Peter didn't want to do, promised he would never do at that Last Supper, right? He promised he wouldn't deny Jesus, and then he did. I mean, why wouldn't Jesus give honorable mention to John? John was there for Jesus. John stood at the foot of the cross and was the one that Jesus gave responsibility for his own mother, right? I mean, John came through for Jesus. Why on earth would Jesus or the angel mention Peter? And I think the reason angel mentioned Peter was exactly because the last time we saw Peter was the time that Peter failed. Was when he messed up worse than he ever messed up in his whole life. When he was at his absolute low, when the chips were down and he buckled. When he didn't follow through, when he didn't do what was right, when he was weak, and when he just let Jesus down. And what the angel is saying is, this message is for Peter too. Which brings us to us. Folks, we've just been through the season of Lent, and the season of Lent is all about us examining ourselves, looking at our sin, and not just the things that we do, but the things that cause us to do the things that we do, the things that, the selfishness that causes us to do the things. You know what I'm saying? It's not just much that we steal, but it's what causes us to steal, the faith that we put in the thing to make us happy rather than putting our faith in God. The idea that I'm somehow more important than this person that God gave this thing to, that I disagree with the way God distributed things in the world, and that I need to correct God's mistakes, right? The idea that this, that the pride that we have, the all of the things, this awful sin, not just the actions, but the attitudes and the corruption that runs right to the center of our soul, that we would have the opportunity to look at how big and vast and enormous our sin is, because today The message is this. This message of salvation, this gospel that became real at the resurrection of Christ, is for all the disciples and for you. That no matter how great your sin, his forgiveness is greater. No matter how far you have fallen, you haven't fallen away from his love. That his love dominates everything and that he loves you. His death was for you. His resurrection is for you. And you will be raised with him if you hold on to the gospel that has been passed on to you. That all of this is for you. So why is it so celebratory when we say he is risen? Because if he is risen, we know that one day we also will rise. And if we know that one day we will rise, all of the difficult things that we are dealing with in this life are put into a different perspective. It's not a matter of I'm going to be sick forever. That's not it. You will not be sick forever. You will be sick until the day that God brings you into his glory. Jesus did not suffer forever. You will not suffer forever. The time is coming when all suffering ends. And that is the day for which we live. That is the day we keep our eyes on. That is the day that gives us hope. And the day that keeps us going, the day that keeps us working in his kingdom, even when it's hard, even when it seems impossible, because we know that he is risen. He is risen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God. I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts and minds. Lord, when we are weak and have a hard time holding on to you, Lord, I pray that you would hold on to us. Keep us close to you, Lord. Send your spirit to work in our hearts and minds. Enrich our faith. Strengthen us, Lord, so that we can have the confidence of knowing, the confidence of your resurrection, Lord, at all times. And that we can face the future, whatever comes. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us continue our worship by collecting the offering. As the offering is collected, I do ask that you would record your attendance in the folders that you'll find near your seats. And then let us also return praise and glory to the God who has risen.
Yeah.
Please stand as we confess our shared faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the hope that we have because Jesus rose from the dead. I thank you that you have taken away the sting of death and the sting of the grave. For we know that for those who live in you, death is not the end. But we believe that you will raise those who die in you. We have hope for those that we love and hope for ourselves because of you. We thank you as well that you forgive us our failures, the times that we abandon you and fail to follow in accordance with your will as you call us to do, that you call us back. You continue to invite us to come back to your open arms and you restore us. You restore our relationship with you. Lord, this day we also remember those who are ill, those with health complications. Today we especially pray for Carson as he was struggling to breathe this morning. We pray that you would guide those who are giving him care, that he can get the best treatment, that he can be restored to health and be able to breathe as he needs to. We also pray for those who have long-term health needs and who are recovering. We remember especially Paul, Wayne, Jennifer, and all those that we name in our hearts. Lord, again, I thank you that you have gathered this, your people, together in worship toward you. I pray that all of us would follow you all the days of our life. Together we pray, as Jesus has taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. You may be seated.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Toda la
ever and ever. And he shall reign, and he shall reign forever.
Thank you again for joining us in our Easter celebration this day. Pastor Bob alluded to in his children's message, we do have the wonderful Easter egg hunt. They'll be happening. You'll go out those exit doors. No need to run, but progress that direction as soon as the service is over. The other thing I wanted to note today is that if you've ever wanted to know a little bit more about Jesus, you have a great opportunity in 2 weeks. We're going to be starting up a new Bible study covering the Gospel of Matthew. So that'll be on April 14th. Otherwise, blessings to you. Christ is risen.
He is risen.